You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, this school year marks the 40th anniversary of the court-ordered desegregation of Milwaukee Public Schools. We'll talk to an education expert who says many of the problems that desegregation was supposed to solve still exist. Some are worse. First, there are new numbers out in Wisconsin politics with today's Marquette Law School poll, just in time for our weekly check-in on presidential politics with Harry Enten from 538.com. The results in that poll, a big lead for Hillary Clinton among likely voters. She leads Donald Trump 52-37% in a one-on-one matchup. That's a 15-point lead. Throw in Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, Libertarian and Green, respectively. Clinton still has a 13-point lead among likely voters. Harry Enten is with us now. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, Harry, these results were presented live, and they were live tweeted. Here was a bonus tweet in their feed today. Quote, audible audience reaction to news Clinton is up 15 points among likely voters. Harry, did you have an audible reaction to that news?
To be perfectly honest, I was getting Chinese food while those results were being tweeted out. But No, this is a state, Wisconsin, which although, as the previous guest had spoken about, leans Republican in midterm elections and presidential years, not so much. It hasn't voted for a Republican candidate for president since 1984. But I will say the fact that Clinton's up by so much, 13 or 15 percentage points, that matches with a lot of the national data we're seeing, which shows that Clinton has a sizable lead on Donald Trump.
That lead among likely voters in a two-way field, that's an 11-point increase compared to July. In a four-way race, it was a 6-point increase. That's a pretty big jump. I mean, are we looking at conventions? Are we looking at Donald Trump's bad week? What do you think is behind that?
Well, I would say a few things. You know, the jump among registered voters was slightly less than it was among likely voters. So there are, I think, a few things that are going on there. Yes, there are some voters who had previously said that they were voting for Trump who might now say they're voting for Clinton, or maybe they were undecided and they're going to Clinton, or they were for Trump and now going undecided. So that's part of it. But I think what's also part of it is that if you're hearing a lot of the news over the past few weeks, if you're a Republican voter, you have to feel mighty depressed with what Donald Trump has been saying, while Democratic voters, I think, feel like their party is together. And what the likely voter screen that Marquette uses is it basically says you're absolutely certain you're going to go vote in the fall. And I think there are a lot more Democrats who are making it through the screen at this point who say they're absolutely certain they're going to vote in the fall versus Republicans are a lot less certain given what their candidate has said over the past few weeks.
As a person who tracks polls closely, Harry, what do you tend to focus on more, those registered voter or likely voter screens? And also in this particular presidential race, are you more interested in Trump or Clinton or Trump, Clinton, Johnson, Stein questions?
I think that's a great question. First off, at 538, we do keep track of Gary Johnson's poll number, so we prefer a three- or four-way. Some pollsters, in fact, in some states, Jill Stein's not even on the ballot, so, you know, in those cases, it'd be a three-way. So we prefer those numbers. In terms of the registered versus likely, we do keep track of likely voter numbers, but I think it's important to point out that it's still early, and traditionally in presidential years, there doesn't tend to end up being that wide of a gap between the two of them. So, you know, I'm looking and I'm saying, okay, at those registered voter numbers, that seems about right, whereby, you know, Clinton is up by 10 among registered voters in the head-to-head. That seems perfectly in line with the national polls that we're seeing, which is basically Clinton up, say, about 8 or 9 points in Wisconsin, being slightly to the left of the nation as a whole.
The Senate race here in Wisconsin, poll numbers out there, too. Democrat Russ Feingold, 11 points over Republican Ron Johnson, again, among likely voters there. How does that fit into what you're seeing in the national Senate picture?
Well, this is basically fitting in very nicely, which is that the Republican candidates for Senate are running tend to be running a few points ahead of where Donald Trump is running in a given state. But unfortunately for Ron Johnson in the state of Wisconsin, Trump is so far behind that he'd have to be running well ahead of him to really have too much of a fighting chance at this point. Now, of course, it's still early, so these numbers could tighten up a bit. But if you look at the polls that have been taken this entire year, I don't believe there's been a single poll that has Russ Feingold trailing Ron Johnson. And this, to me, is a prime pickup opportunity for the Democratic Party. And the spending, or lack thereof, by certain both third-party outfits as well as the DSCC and NRSC also tend to point that this is probably not going to be where the real battleground is. This is probably a Democratic pickup.
I was going to ask you about that spending. Are we at a stage where donors are looking at numbers like this in the presidential and the Senate race and thinking, my money's better spent elsewhere?
I think absolutely so. I think that most people who are, especially on the Senate side, are looking at this and going, we need to maintain our Senate majority, and there are better places to help maintain it than Wisconsin, which along with Illinois, with Mark Kirk in the, just to the south of Wisconsin, are probably going Democratic. I think that there are better seats such as Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, among others, where I think Republicans have a better chance of building a firewall to try and protect their Senate majority.
We're talking to Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at some of the latest news from the presidential campaign trail. Moving on from the polls for a bit, after a rough week last week, I think people agreed, Donald Trump had a more on-message speech on Monday, looking at the economy in Detroit. And then there was this yesterday.
Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick... If she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
so a lot of reaction to that, Harry. People saying anything from that sounds like he's advocating for someone to shoot Hillary Clinton or Supreme Court judges. A lot of people, including Paul Ryan, thinking a joke gone bad. Trump supporters saying, no, he's talking about election action, political organizing. Once again, though, Trump supporters, based on something Donald Trump said, are playing defense again.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the consistent theme of this campaign, right? You have Donald Trump, who isn't that well-liked. You have Hillary Clinton, who isn't that well-liked. They would both be better off if the campaign was focused on the other candidate, but it consistently is being focused in on Donald Trump. And look, I don't think that anyone thinks that Donald Trump wants someone to go out and shoot Hillary Clinton. But, this is something that isn't taken lightly. The Secret Service has spoken to the Trump campaign. I mean, this is just another distraction and keeps the focus on Donald Trump and away from Hillary Clinton and not on the issues. And there's a reason why Donald Trump at this point is the least liked presidential candidate on record. It's statements like that.
Yeah, opposition research, I guess, for the Clinton campaign is just watching what Donald Trump says if he keeps saying things that are going to get caught up like that.
I mean, someone literally did make a montage of clips and put it on YouTube of 4 minutes of just Donald Trump speaking, and they can just put it back to back to back to back to back to back to back. Usually you have to cut the clips out and try and make it seem like they said something they didn't. But with Trump, you just play the clips as is, and it makes him look like he's, out of control. And there's a reason why the polls show that on the question of being a commander-in-chief or having the right temperament to serve as president, Hillary Clinton consistently leads Donald Trump. Even if voters don't like Hillary Clinton and perhaps thinks that she isn't full with the truth all of the time, to quote Michael Bloomberg, they want a credible, sane leader. And Donald Trump, at least in the eyes of most voters at this point, isn't that.
Right. With Hillary Clinton, we still have a steady drip of email-related stories, the hacked accounts, differing with the FBI investigation on whether she was truthful. Now emails coming out showing... maybe nothing at a criminal level, but things that people find unsavory about links between the Clinton Foundation and her State Department emails. If Donald Trump took a break for a bit, these things probably would be dominating the headlines, wouldn't they?
That's right. Look, the media wants a competitive race. See, this is the old-fashioned thing that I think a lot of people don't understand. They think the media may be biased towards one candidate and another. That may be so, but the true bias is they want people to tune in, and the way you get people to tune in is if there's the appearance of a competitive race. So they want balance in the media between Trump and Clinton. The problem is that Trump doesn't allow these stuff that Clinton has said or the scandals that she has been involved in to come to the forefront. And there's plenty of dirt on Hillary Clinton. There's a reason why she isn't well-liked by most Americans. But the problem is that Trump steps on his own message and doesn't allow the media to put forth the case against Clinton. And so all we really get is hearing bad news about Donald Trump, which is part of the reason why Hillary Clinton leads this campaign right now, including in the state of Wisconsin.
I want to get into a couple different issues here. You recently wrote about the idea that's out there that polls are skewed. Now, this came up 4 years ago. Mitt Romney supporters saying all these polls showing Barack Obama leading, they're skewed. We're going to, here, we'll help you out and unskew them for you. We're starting to see that again. Are the polls skewed, Harry?
They are not skewed. Look, the polls could be wrong. They could be wrong. They weren't wrong in the primaries. Remember, Donald Trump, it was people like myself who didn't believe the polls, which is why we were skeptical about Trump. But the polls, in fact, showed Trump winning the entire time. If you look at the polls from all of the different outfits, they tell a very consistent picture. These polls are not skewed. They're not going to be professionals who are putting their livelihoods on the line here and try and, you know, have polls that just don't make any sense. All of the polls tell the same thing. There isn't a single national poll right now that has Donald Trump ahead. There's a reason for that, and that is because he is, in fact, trailing.
Are we going to see more Republicans? We have seen more Republicans. Senator Collins has said she's not voting for Donald Trump. With continued bad news in the polls, with continued statements from the campaign trail confusing people at least, do you think we're going to see another steady drip of Republicans distancing themselves from Donald Trump?
Each Republican that distanced themselves from Donald Trump makes it easier for the next one to do so. You know, and then you're not just going on a limb on your own. We've even seen people who previously said they expected to endorse the nominee saying, wait a minute, Donald Trump still hasn't proven it to me. It should be pointed out that most Republicans at this point do support the nominee. But even if you're getting 80% of the Republican vote, which is about what Donald Trump gets in the Marquette poll, that in itself is far below expectations. You'd hope to get 90% plus among Republican voters. If Trump is stuck at 80%, he is going to lose this election. He needs that base behind him. And the more he talks out and the more statements that he makes, the easier it becomes for voters and for politicians to say, you know what, I'm a Republican, but Trump is a step too far for me.
And Harry, I almost forgot to ask, it looks like we have a new presidential candidate, sort of, this Evan McMullen, often followed by a who question mark, but he was a Republican congressional staffer. He's got some support, apparently, from Mitt Romney backers to try to get onto the ballot in some states, including states like Utah, where the thought is maybe he would draw off votes to help derail Donald Trump's chances in one or two states. Do you see that having an impact?
I mean, look, it gives some people an opportunity to vote their conscience. I don't think that we'll be saying the name Evan McMullen a lot. But in Utah, look, Gary Johnson has also based his campaign there. Mormon voters who make up the vast majority of the voters in that state do not like Donald Trump. It's historically a very Republican state, but Trump is struggling. No poll has gotten him above 40% so far in a state that Mitt Romney won 72% in 2012. I wouldn't be shocked if McMullen or Johnson made a play in Utah and the winning candidate, whoever wins Utah's electoral votes, ends up winning with less than 40% of the vote. It's probably still going to be Donald Trump, but hey, McMullen, Johnson, Clinton, Trump, looks like we could have a nice four-way race on our wet hands in that particular state.
Harry, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to an education expert about the 40th anniversary of the attempted desegregation of Milwaukee's public schools. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.